Good morning, everyone. Is this your pen, Jed? Five-finger discount. I'm just joking. That's a good pen. As a teacher, I'm always on the lookout for pens. Holly knows what I'm talking about. I had a really good week. It was not an easy week. My daughter got sick again. I don't know if she just is out there licking doorknobs or what's going on, but she's like sick all the time. So Jude was sick. I had a lot of work, but it's the greater the trial, the greater the victory kind of deal. I've been feeling more and more peace. You know, we had a new guy come in here, and Emilio ignored him, was like, I don't want to talk to that guy. We had a new guy come in here, and I saw him, and I was, like, putting down my thing, but I guess, like, you know, there's only, like, it was Connie and Emilio and Jed and Steve were doing some work, and I guess he was just, it's not easy being in a small party. We have a new student in one of our classes. It's hard enough to be a new student. It's even more difficult to be a new student when there's like four kids in the class. When he left, I was a little bit discouraged because, you know, I thought, well, we didn't even get a chance to sing awkwardly at him. But I say all that because when that kind of slight disappointment, that slight pang of disappointment came, I was reminded of how great my week was. And that encouraged me and reminded me that regardless of the circumstances, I am the prime beneficiary of my walk with the Lord. That makes sense? Like, I hope more people come in and hear it and love it like I do. I hope that people come in and are blessed and the church grows. I hope all those things. But if a meteor came and crashed and burned everything, the peace and joy and wisdom that I have experienced in the last few years, it's like if you went back in time and tried to explain it to me, I wouldn't be able to understand it. Did that? I couldn't get it. I couldn't get it. I heard it, but I just couldn't get it. And now that I've got it, I wouldn't give it up. It's the pearl of great price. I'll sell all my stuff to keep it. Anyhow, and it starts right here, right now. A few minutes. Emilio's going to be playing guitar. All of that other stuff. I'm not going to think about what I could have done differently to get that guy to stay. I'm not going to think about my work week. I'm not going to think about next week. I'm going to think about the Lord. And I'm going to quiet my mind so that I can hear him. Not like an audible voice like, hey man, just chill out. That feeling of peace. That presence of companionship when I'm alone. As soon as I stop listening to all of the other things. I do it here, I do it at home, and it grows and grows and grows. Emilio, if you don't mind.
Thanks, man.
I talked for 2 weeks about growth and change. I screwed up the vine metaphor. I don't know how plants work. I feel like the grafting was a good illustration, but I don't know if that's actually how you make plants grow. I trust Stephen. He knows more about this kind of stuff than I do. But continuing on that path of growth and change, you know, I often hear people tell me, like, what a pastor should do or, like, how a pastor behaves. That's good. That's great. But I gotta find my own way. We all gotta find our own way. So how does one find their own way? Well, you don't find your own way by standing still. So we talked about the last 2 weeks about change and growth. But if you don't know where you're going, I tell my students all the time, I think I told you this story, my first trip to Europe, I used to travel to Europe as often as I could. The first trip was the only trip I took with friends. Every other trip I took by myself, because the first trip with my friends went so categorically off the rails that I thought, I'm not doing this anymore, dude. And so we had our, like, books with our reservation and our maps and all of our paperwork, and we fly into Amsterdam International Airport, get off the plane, only then to realize that all of our maps, all of our reservations, all of our everything are still on the plane. This is before, you know, this was like flip phones and pagers still. So we don't know where we're going. We don't know where we're going to sleep that night. None of us speak Dutch. Surprise, surprise. So we were just like, okay, we got like 5.5 weeks. We got to be back here. What are we going to do? Well, I can't ask them for directions because they don't know where they're going either. They've never been to Loenhoeken Street, Strasse either. So I have to ask somebody who knows where they're going for directions. And I tell my students all the time, as you get older, you cease to listen to your parents and you begin listening to your friends like I did, which is the dumbest thing. Because you've never been an adult and neither have they. So how are you going to ask them for the proper techniques on how to grow into a successful, mature young person? So, as a person who is committed to their spiritual growth, where on earth do I get directions? Number one, first and foremost, from the Lord. Secondly, from close, trusted friends and family members. But in order to do that, I gotta be willing to listen. I had a teacher one time when I was young tell me, it's important to listen, not speak, Gabriel. I heard that a lot. I don't know why. He said, that's why the Lord's given us two ears and one mouth. If rolling eyes made a sound, that lady would have heard it. But it's true. The way for growth is to listen. Peace and quiet often go together. If you go to my classroom on Tuesday morning, you will get neither. If you go to a rock concert, you'll enjoy yourself, but you will not find peace and you will not find quiet. So I have done something drastic this week, Daniel. I did not, when I went to bed, I put my phone away. Can you imagine, Stephen? Can you even imagine? Somewhere right now, a chill ran through my son's spine, and he doesn't know why. We live in the best possible time that humans can live. I still believe that because it's true. But we do have to deal with things that people in the past didn't have to deal with. And that is the ever-present opinions and noise of people. Did you ever see How the Grinch Stole Christmas? And they're all like, all the Who's are like singing down there. noise, 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 right? There's always noise. My phone's constantly chirping at me. And I didn't realize it, but I take it everywhere with me. You don't even think about it. People are always on it. They're like looking at it right now, even as I speak. Which in and of itself is not wrong. But the problem with that is, if you're a person who's always speaking, then you don't have any time to hear. The growth and the peace that I've felt since I've gone on this journey are great. They're wonderful. But what's even greater, what's even more glorious is the idea that I'm not even done. It's like Churchill said, this isn't the end. This isn't even the beginning of the end. But it is perhaps the end of the beginning. I've got so much more to go, and that's what's glorious. I'm 42 years old, and I'm just getting started. I'm not looking back, thank God. I'm looking forward. So in order to continue my growth, I have to make myself teachable, I have to humble myself, and I got to be quiet. My father used to always say, it's the empty can that rattles. And I was such an ignorant person at the time, I thought to myself, if it was empty, Dad, it wouldn't be rattling. What that means is, the person who has nothing to say of value or substance constantly prattles on. Does that make sense? Monks in the Dark Ages used to take vows of chastity, vows of poverty, and vows of silence. And it has become more and more impressed upon me that I need to be quiet, he says, speaking into a microphone. First, I have to quiet my mouth. And then I must quiet my mind. Did that make sense? I really honestly believe that if all of us were quiet, humble people, the world would be a better place. It doesn't mean you have to be silent. But to get back on the internet and to sound like a grandpa, the internet is great and phones are great, but it's given everybody an opportunity to voice their opinions, and they do. You can go on Yelp, you can go on Twitter. I'll never call it X, Justine. I'm calling it Twitter till the day I die. You're on Twitter, you can go on Facebook, you can go on Instagram. Look at my avocado toast, watch my kids, look at my... There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're not aware of it, you get carried away. So you're constantly saying your opinion, and then the algorithm puts you in a group of other like-minded people, and you're speaking your opinion to them, and they're speaking their opinion back, and no one's quiet and listening. Did that make sense? I could tweet from now until the year 40,000 and will change no one's mind, because everybody who goes on Twitter likes things that they agree with and argues with things that they don't. Does that make sense? I like cat videos. So when I go onto Instagram Reels, I see all these cat videos. I think, oh, that's so cute. And then I look, oh, that's so cute. And then I look, oh, that's so cute. Because the computer is giving me what I want. So I think, this is what I want. This is what I think. This is what I believe. And the computer says, yeah, dude, here. These people also think that. And then we all talk about what we believe. And we think about, oh, those idiots who don't believe it. Quieting your mouth enables you to listen. So, a Bible verse, Matthew 15:10. I was taking down the tables, so I didn't have a bookmark. Matthew 15:10, the Pharisees got a lot of things to say about how you should properly lead your life. And Jesus says, after Jesus called the crowd to him, he said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles the man." Then his disciples came and said to him, Did you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? But he answered and said, "Every plant shall be uprooted. Every plant that my Father did not place shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are the blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into the pit." We are so concerned with being right. I have to stand up and raise my hand. First and foremost, I have lived my life as a man who believed he was right and needed to tell everybody. I had to win every argument. I had to have this wittiest comeback. Did that make sense? Most people are just, when somebody else is speaking, they're just waiting for their turn to talk. They're not listening. It's just two people talking at each other. I am a man who talks at people. I don't speak with people. I talk at them like a machine gun. But when I'm able to quiet myself, so last night at Trader Joe's, this has been on my mind, and outside of school and work, I actually do spend a lot of time quiet. So I went into Trader Joe's, and I was like, I am going to be fully aware of my thoughts and my words. And I'm going to make a concerted effort not to speak. And not only that, Hector, when somebody else is speaking, I'm going to laser beam focus in on them and just listen. And I'm not going to say, and I'm going to try and say, have the conversation be just about what they're saying. Not because I don't have anything valuable to say, but I need to shift my perspective. And wouldn't you know it, when I started really focusing in and listening and trying to be completely aware of what they were saying, the whole nature of our conversations changed. The whole atmosphere and mood changed. You know how many conversations that I have that are just worthless nothing? It's cold out there today. Oh, yeah, it's cold. You gonna watch the game this Sunday? Oh, yeah, we're gonna watch the game. And it's just nothing. A clanging gong. A noisy cymbal. Gandhi says, be the change that you want to see in the world. I want people to be to listen and be more aware. Well, who should start this trend, Gabe? You should. Instead of going to everybody, you guys got to listen more. Everybody, all you guys need to listen more. I got to listen more. I got to be quiet. I had wonderful conversations with people last night. I learned things about people I had known for years that I never heard. Because I was consciously aware, trying to be a humble, loving, listening, caring person. And I only did that once I shut up. Once I didn't go in there and try and make a joke. There's nothing wrong with making jokes, but most of us are on automatic. We're on autopilot. We're just going around. So I said, I'm going to be quiet. And I'm going to let other people talk. And I'm going to do that as often as possible. And the more that I did it, the more I was blessed. I was looking to bless people. Spread the gospel to the corners of the earth, Gabe. How am I going to do that? To be a man of substance so they're willing to listen to what you say. Ask people how to fix a problem, you're going to get 10 different points of view, and they all believe they're right. The wise man can hear all of them and then decide. But if you're just talking, you're not listening. You all know people in the world, one of them is standing in front of you, who've got an opinion about everything. Good thing we're right, though, right? Those other guys are wrong, but not us. Peace and quiet. Jesus even tells the storm, peace, be still. The angels, when they come, peace, be on you. First, we silence our mouths. And then, more importantly, I would argue, We silence our mind. To quiet our mind, and this is the trick. I didn't realize how much I have something on all the time. Washing the dishes, I'm watching YouTube. Vacuuming the floor, I'm listening to a podcast. Driving, I'm listening to music. I don't really listen to music. I'm not cool anymore. I used to listen to music. Now I listen to podcasts, and my kids ask why I'm old and boring. I say, I don't know, man. This is how it goes. But there's always something coming in. Did that make sense? But when there's always something coming in, then your mind is cluttered with whatever that is. You hear a song and it brings up a memory or an emotion. You hear a podcast and you're like, yeah, that's right. Those people do suck. But I wasn't even aware of it. I wasn't even aware that I went to sleep with my phone on every single night. Now, to some of you, that might be crazy. But to people my age or younger, that's Wednesday. My phone is always on, always on. Well, how am I going to hear the Holy Spirit if I'm listening to a podcast? How am I going to hear the Holy Spirit when I'm listening to Led Zeppelin? They're great, but they're not going to lead me to the truth. Did that make sense? I got to quiet my mind. Luke chapter 14, verse 15. When one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to them, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' And the slave came back and reported all of this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner.'" So the bread of the kingdom of heaven is the peace and joy that come with entering the kingdom of heaven. So during the week, when I'm feeling anxious, when I'm feeling afraid, when I'm feeling frustrated, I'm not in the kingdom of heaven. When I let those things go and I enter the kingdom of heaven, I have everything that I need. I know that I'm in the kingdom of heaven when I'm not worried about tomorrow. Did that make sense? I know when I'm in the kingdom of heaven when I'm not thinking about something I want. I have everything I need when I'm eating the bread in the kingdom of heaven. So when the Lord is calling us all, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice and open the door, I would come in." Well, how come we're not hearing his voice? For 40 years, how come I didn't hear his voice? Because there was no peace and quiet in my mind. Number one, I assumed I had everything figured out. I was too smart to fall for any of that. Number two, I was constantly inundated with outside noise. So he's knocking, but I got my headphones on. I'm washing dishes. I'm doing stuff. He calls me to, "Gabe, don't be worried." "Yeah, but Lord, I bought a piece of land and I got to do this." That feeling that he's calling you to do it, but you don't want to listen. You don't want to listen because you've got valid concerns. "Well, I got a meeting. I don't have time to pray right now. I got to drive my daughter to the practice. I don't have time right now." He's calling us all, but we don't hear him because we don't take time to listen. this week, practice and be mindful of the things that you say and think. Clear the clutter of your mind. I hear from my students all the time complaining about school. And I think to myself, how on earth could they not be happy? No bills. They just wake up alive, awake, and alert. No coffee needed. No sore hip. No bad back. No emails waiting. Living the dream. You kidding me? These guys are playing hide and go seek. I tried to play hide and go seek. Hector told me to go away. Leave his house. But they're already at a young age starting to be inundated with all of the noise, all of those intrusive thoughts that snatch away their peace. I don't want to go to school, then I got to do homework, then I got to do blah, 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 blah. And the Lord is knocking, but they can't hear it. But then they live 30 years of their life just piling it on and piling it on. All of the worries, all of the cares, all of the opinions. And then they wonder, why can't I find any peace and happiness? I'll buy a new car. I'll get a house. I'll date somebody new. I'll take a pill. I'll go and talk with this person. I'll go out and dance. All of those things are fine if they bring you happiness. But if you are not experiencing peace, joy, and happiness on a regular basis, it's not the world that needs to change. It's you that need to change. You've landed in Amsterdam, and you left all your maps on the plane. I gotta get directions. I am lost, in the dark, stumbling about. My only saving grace is that for the first time, I've thought to myself, you know what? Maybe I need help. Maybe instead of telling everybody how to live their lives, I should zip it. Keep it zipped and listen. What a wonderful place that would be if everybody could hear other people without judgment, with love and compassion. You don't have to agree with them. I don't agree with most of the things people say, but I need to be willing to listen in a patient, kind, and caring way. Because people can tell. You know when you're talking to a person that's disinterested. If not paying attention, I can see my daughter visibly stop paying attention. Jude, you got to clean your room, baby. This is important. Now listen, when you grow up, if you have habits and if you don't get good habits, and I can just see her like check out. It's like her brain walks away and goes and does something else. You're right. How do I get my daughter to listen to me? By being a man who's willing to listen. Did that make sense? I'm just talking at people all the time. I want peace and quiet. So am I just going to shush everyone to death? It's not going to work. And even if it did, my mind would still keep me awake at night. But if I can be a quiet, loving person, then I will have the peace. And when people see peace, they flock to it like moths to a flame, because the very thing on my heart that says, I want to be joined with the Lord and find some peace and happiness in this world, is the same thing they do. Think about it. If all of us didn't believe we could be happy, then nobody would be going to therapy and doing all those other things. There's nothing wrong with therapy. Go if it helps you. But all of us have this deep down belief that we should be happy. And then the pain comes from wondering why we're not. The good news of the gospel is that we can all have it. You can be rich and happy. You can be poor and happy. You can be married and happy. You can be single and happy. You can be young and happy. You can be old and happy. You can be straight and happy. You can be gay and happy. You can be white and happy. You can be black and happy. You can be Republican and happy. You can be Democrat and happy. But all of us are too worried thinking about everybody else's happiness. The storm is about to kill everyone. The disciples are running around like chickens with their heads cut off. And the Lord, the only person with peace in his heart, peace, be still. Jesus says, will you too leave me? Peter says, where would we go? You're the only one who has life. But to hear him, you got to listen. As soon as you part away the negative thoughts and emotions, the positives are under there. It's like you're trying to make a positive thought sandwich, Steve. You have peace and love in your heart, but then you've covered it up with all this negativity. And so you try and find happiness by buying something you like or having a drink or finding somebody new or watching a movie. And you put happiness on top of your grief, but as soon as the movie's over, it's like I heard this story. There's this woman, and she's thinking to her friend all the time, nobody loves me, I'm so lonely, nobody loves me, I'm so lonely, nobody loves me, I'm so lonely. And then she goes and sees a movie with her friend. And the two of them go out, and they're watching the movie. And she stops thinking about how lonely it is, and she's having fun and enjoying herself. And then when she leaves the movie, her friend goes off with her boyfriend, and she thinks, oh my God, nobody loves me. Because she's just put a Band-Aid over it. But you got to be willing to strip it away. So I was wondering about quiet, and I'm going to wrap it up. I was wondering about, do I talk too much, Lord? I talk for a living in all of my jobs. Do I talk too much? And in my prayer time, I normally do 15 minutes of like just breathing and trying to be quiet and listen to the Lord, and then I do 15 minutes of praying for you guys, praying for myself, praying for my rotten kids. And I thought, I'm just going to do all listening. So 30 minutes in the morning, sitting in my room like a weirdo, trying to quiet my mind, and the thoughts come in. I'm like, is that dog out there? Is the trash can coming up? Put it away. Clear my mind. And the answer came back to me. Yeah. Yes, Gabe. Yes. Yes. You need to be more quiet. You need to listen more. I thought, nah, probably not. I probably should still talk a lot, shouldn't I? Because I didn't want to hear it. I had spent 42 years of talking. But the more that I was quiet, the more that I quieted my mind, I could hear him calling me, that feeling, saying, yes, dude, yes, yes, yes. So yesterday during my prayer time, I did the same thing. And he said, yes, Gabe. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. Put down my phone. Lord, come back. Stop listening to my phone at night. This morning, I got up, walked around like an idiot. No phone. I went into work last night. I'm going to listen. And the lady came and said, excuse me, do you know where the tortillas were? And the first thought came in the bread section with the rest of the bread. But I didn't think that. I was like, that's not Gabe, that's not the Lord. Of course I do. Then as we're walking, she's talking about something. And normally I just check out, Jude. But the Lord is calling me. So locked in, focused. And the whole tenor of the situation changed. Instead of me being busy, what is it you need? Tortillas this way. You understand? The whole Trader Joe's was the same. All of the people walking about their business, but I had stepped into the wedding feast, and I had everything that I needed. And as soon as I went into it, she could feel it. She came in with me. High five. Noise. There are the tortillas. Let's do this. And then I went back over and I was talking with my friend Bernie and he hurt his back. And normally I'd be like, oh yeah, dude, that sucks, man. Yeah, what are you going to do, bro? The Lord called me and I just listened right in, zoom, like a laser beam, tracked me, sucked me right in. And I listened and next thing I know, I'm hearing all about his life. And at the end, I felt like the Lord told me to tell him something kind and loving that I had thought about him. And I said, "Hey, Bernie, I like you, man. You're smart, you're funny, you're kind." And he's like, "Thanks, man." And I was like, "Yeah, dude, no, thank you." And the whole thing changed. I talked to Bernie for 2 years. It took me 2 years to say that. The voice came in the back of my head. "Dude, you say that, he's going to think you're gay, bro." Just joking. But I thought, have you ever thought, I'm going to say something nice to somebody, and then when you get there, you're like, forget it. It happens to me all the time. Maybe I'm just a weirdo. But Bernie and I had that connection. I talked with my friend Aaron. I talked with all of these people. And when I say talked with, I actually mean that, because I was listening much more than I was talking. And that gave them an opportunity. And when they saw that I was listening intently and cared about what they said, they wanted to say something genuine. And I wanted to hear it. And when they said something genuine to me, the same spirit that's in their heart, that's in mine, connected, and we entered the kingdom of heaven, and we had everything we needed. In that moment with Bernie, I wasn't worried about my bills, I wasn't worried about the future of the church, I wasn't worried about my kids. I was in the kingdom of heaven. And I thought to myself later, how have I gone so long? How did I live my life for so long? Stumbling around in the dark, stubbing my toe and then punching the table for making me hurt my toe like an idiot. I quieted my mouth, I quieted my mind, and the Lord gave me instructions. He gave me directions to find the kingdom. And I walked in, and it was good. It will be well. This week, it will be well. This week, it will be well. This week, it will be well. Because you have everything that you need. You're not going to talk your boss into changing. But if you listen, the Lord and the people who love you will guide you to the kingdom of heaven. And if and when you find it, you'll sell everything else you have. I love my phone. I'd throw it in the ocean if I thought it was honestly going to keep me from the kingdom of heaven. Peace and quiet for the weary soul. Peace and quiet. You will go into the kingdom and come out, and you will find pasture if you follow him. Be blessed this week. I'll close in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this place. Thank you for these wonderful people. Thank you for this opportunity. But above all, thank you for your guidance, for your directions. Help us this week, Lord. Guide us. Help us to hear your knocking. Help us to open the door. Give us the directions to find the kingdom of heaven, and bring us back next week filled with the good news of your gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.